Chapter 20. You remember that when I went to the table for the purpose of making a sketch of the beetle, I found no paper where it was usually kept. I looked in the drawer and found none there. I searched my pockets, hoping to find an old letter, when my hand fell upon the parchment. I thus detail the precise mode in which it came into my possession, for the circumstances impressed me with peculiar force. No doubt you will think me fanciful, but I had already established a kind of connection. I had put together two links of a great chain. There was a boat lying upon a sea coast, and not far from the boat was a parchment, not a paper, with a skull depicted upon it. You will, of course, ask where is the connection? I reply that the skull, or death's head, is the well-known emblem of the pirate. The flag of the death's head is hoisted in all engagements. I have said that the scrap was parchment, and not paper. Parchment is durable, almost imperishable. Matters of little moment are rarely consigned to parchment, since, for the mere ordinary purposes of drawing or writing, it is not nearly so well adapted as paper. This reflection suggested some meaning, some relevancy in the death's head. I did not fail to observe, also, the form of the parchment. Although one of its corners had been, by some accident, destroyed, it could be seen that the original form was oblong. It was just such a slip, indeed, as might have been chosen for a memorandum, for a record of something to be long remembered and carefully preserved. But, I interposed, you say that the skull was not upon the parchment when you made the drawing of the beetle. How then do you trace any connection between the boat and the skull, since this latter, according to your own admission, must have been designed, God only knows how, or by whom, at some period subsequent to your sketching the scarabaeus? Ah, hereupon turns the whole mystery. Although the secret, at this point, I had comparatively little difficulty in solving. My steps were sure, and could afford but a single result. I reasoned, for example, thus. When I drew the scarabaeus, there was no skull apparent upon the parchment. When I had completed the drawing, I gave it to you, and observed you narrowly until you returned it. You, therefore, did not design the skull, and no one else was present to do it. Then it was not done by human agency, and nevertheless it was done. At this stage of my reflections, I endeavored to remember, and did remember, with entire distinctness, every incident which occurred about the period in question. The weather was chilly, oh, rare and happy accident. And a fire was blazing upon the hearth. I was heated with exercise and sat near the table. You, however, had drawn a chair close to the chimney. Just as I placed the parchment in your hand, and as you were in the act of inspecting it, Wolf, the Newfoundland, entered, and leaped upon your shoulders. With your left hand you caressed him, and kept him off, while your right, holding the parchment, was permitted to fall listlessly between your knees, and in close proximity to the fire. At one moment I thought the blaze had caught it, and was about to caution you, but, before I could speak, you had withdrawn it, and were engaged in its examination. When I considered all these particulars, I doubted not for a moment that he had been the agent in bringing to light, upon the parchment, the skull which I saw designed upon it. You are well aware that chemical preparations exist, and have existed time out of mind, by means of which it is possible to write upon either paper or vellum, so that the characters shall become visible only when subjected to the action of fire. Zephyr, digested in the quarry Gaia, and diluted with 4 times its weight of water, is sometimes employed. A green tint results. The regulus of cobalt, dissolved in spirit of nitre, gives a red. These colors disappear at longer or shorter intervals after the material written upon cools, but again become apparent upon the reapplication of heat. I now scrutinized the death's head with care. Its outer edges, the edges of the drawing nearest the edge of the vellum, were far more distinct than the others. It was clear that the action of the caloric had been imperfect or unequal. I immediately kindled a fire, and subjected every portion of the parchment to a glowing heat. At first, the only effect was the strengthening of the faint lines in the skull. But, upon persevering in the experiment, there became visible, at the corner of the slip, diagonally opposite to the spot in which the death's head was delineated, the figure of what I at first supposed to be a goat. A closer scrutiny, however, satisfied me that it was intended for a kid. "Ha! Ha!" said I, "to be sure I have no right to laugh at you. 1.5 million of money is too serious a matter for mirth. But you are not about to establish a third link in your chain. You will not find any special connection between your pirates and a goat. Pirates, you know, have nothing to do with goats. They appertain to the farming interest. But I have just said that the figure was not that of a goat. Well, a kid then, pretty much the same thing." "Pretty much, but not altogether," said Legrand. "You may have heard of one Captain Kidd." I at once looked upon the figure of the animal as a kind of punning or hieroglyphical signature. I say signature, because its position upon the vellum suggested this idea. The death's head at the corner diagonally opposite had, in the same manner, the air of a stamp, or seal. But I was sorely put out by the absence of all else of the body to my imagined instrument of the text for my context. "I presume you expected to find a letter between the stamp and the signature. Something of that kind. The fact is, I felt irresistibly impressed with a presentiment of some vast good fortune impending. I can scarcely say why. Perhaps, after all, it was rather a desire than an actual belief. But do you know that Jupiter's silly words about the bug being of solid gold had a remarkable effect upon my fancy? And then the series of accidents and coincidences, these were so very extraordinary. Do you observe how mere an accident it was that these events should have occurred upon the sole day of all the year in which it has been, or may be sufficiently cool for fire, and that without the fire, or without the intervention of the dog at the precise moment in which he appeared, I should never have become aware of the death's head, and so never the possessor of the treasure. But proceed, I am all impatience." "Well, you have heard, of course, the many stories current, the thousand vague rumors afloat about money buried, somewhere upon the Atlantic coast, by Kidd and his associates. These rumors must have had some foundation in fact. And that the rumors have existed so long and so continuous, could have resulted, it appeared to me, only from the circumstance of the buried treasures still remaining entombed. Had Kidd concealed his plunder for a time, and afterwards reclaimed it, the rumors would scarcely have reached us in their present unvarying form. You will observe that the stories told are all about money seekers, not about money finders. Had the pirate recovered his money, there the affair would have dropped. It seemed to me that some accident, say the loss of a memorandum indicating its locality, had deprived him of the means of recovering it, and that this accident had become known to his followers, who otherwise might never have heard that the treasure had been concealed at all, and who, busying themselves in vain, because unguided, attempts to regain it, had given first birth, and then universal currency, to the reports which are now so common. Have you ever heard of any important treasure being unearthed along the coast?" "Never. But that Kidd's accumulations were immense is well known. I took it for granted, therefore, that the earth still held them, and you will scarcely be surprised when I tell you that I felt a hope, nearly amounting to certainty, that the parchment so strangely found involved a lost record of the place of deposit. But how did you proceed?" "I held the vellum again to the fire, after increasing the heat, but nothing appeared. I now thought it possible that the coating of dirt might have something to do with the failure. So I carefully rinsed the parchment by pouring warm water over it, and, having done this, I placed it in a tin pan, with the skull downward, and put the pan upon a furnace of lighted charcoal. In a few minutes, the pan having become thoroughly heated, I removed the slip, and, to my inexpressible joy, found it spotted, in several places, with what appeared to be figures arranged in lines. Again I placed it in the pan, and suffered it to remain another minute. Upon taking it off, the hole was just as you see it now. Here Legrand, having reheated the parchment, submitted it to my inspection. The following characters were rudely traced, in a red tint, between the death's head and the goat. 53++, 3305, 6 asterisk, 4826, 4 plus, dot semicolon 806 asterisk semicolon 48 exclamation point 8, 60, 85 semicolon 1 plus 8 asterisk. Plus semicolon colon plus asterisk 8 exclamation point 8388 5 asterisk 46 88 asterisk 96 asterisk semicolon 8 asterisk plus semicolon 485 semicolon 5 asterisk exclamation point 2 colon asterisk plus semicolon 4956 asterisk 2 5 asterisk 4 8 8 asterisk semicolon 4,069,285 semicolon 6 exclamation point 8 4 plus plus 1 plus 9 48,081 semicolon 8 colon 8 plus 1 semicolon 48 exclamation point 885 4 485 exclamation point 528,806 asterisk 81 plus 9 semicolon 48 88 semicolon 4 plus question mark 34 semicolon 48 4 plus semicolon 161 188 plus semicolon. But, said I, returning him the slip, I am as much in the dark as ever. Were all the jewels of Golconda awaiting me upon my solution of this enigma, I am quite sure that I should be unable to earn them. And yet, said Legrand, the solution is by no means so difficult as you might be led to imagine from the first hasty inspection of the characters. These characters, as anyone might readily guess, form a cipher, that is to say, they convey a meaning, but then from what is known of Kidd, I could not suppose him capable of constructing any of the more abstruse cryptographs. I made up my mind, at once, that this was of a simple species such, however, as would appear, to the crude intellect of the sailor, absolutely insoluble without the key. And you really solved it? Readily, I have solved others of an abstruseness 10,000 times greater. Circumstances, and a certain bias of mind, have led me to take interest in such riddles, and it may well be doubted whether human ingenuity can construct an enigma of the kind which human ingenuity may not, by proper application, resolve. In fact, having once established connected and legible characters, I scarcely gave a thought to the mere difficulty of developing their import. In the present case, indeed in all cases of secret writing, the first question regards the language of the cipher, for the principles of solution, so far, especially, as the more simple ciphers are concerned, depend upon, and are varied by, the genius of the particular idiom. In general, there is no alternative, but experiment directed by probabilities, of every tongue known to him who attempts the solution, until the true one be attained. But, with the cipher now before us, all difficulty was removed by the signature. The pun upon the word kid is appreciable in no other language than the English. But for this consideration I should have begun my attempts with the Spanish and French, as the tongues in which a secret of this kind would most naturally have been written by a pirate of the Spanish main. As it was, I assumed the cryptograph to be English. You observe there are no divisions between the words. Had there been divisions, the task would have been comparatively easy. In such cases I should have commenced with a collation and analysis of the shorter words, and, had a word of a single letter occurred, as is most likely, a ri, for example, I should have considered the solution as assured. But, there being no division, my first step was to ascertain the predominant letters, as well as the least frequent. Counting all, I constructed a table thus. Of the character 8 there are 33. semicolon 26, 419, plus 16, asterisk 13, 512, 611, exclamation point 118, 06, 92.5, colon 34, question mark 3.2.1. Now, in English, the letter which most frequently occurs is E afterwards. The succession runs thus. AOIDHNRSTUYCFGLMWBKPQXZE predominates so remarkably that an individual sentence of any length is rarely seen, in which it is not the prevailing character. Here, then, we have, in the very beginning, the groundwork for something more than a mere guess. The general use which may be made of the table is obvious, but, in this particular cipher, we shall only very partially require its aid. As our predominant character is 8, we will commence by assuming it as the E of the natural alphabet. To verify the supposition, let us observe, if the 8 be seen often in couples, for E is doubled with great frequency in English in such words, for example, as meet, apostrophe fleet, speed, apostrophe scene, bin, agree, etc. In the present instance we see it doubled no less than 5 times, although the cryptograph is brief. Let us assume 8 then, as E now, of all words in the language, does most usual. Let us see, therefore, whether there are not repetitions of any 3 characters, in the same order of collocation, the last of them being 8. If we discover repetitions of such letters, so arranged, they will most probably represent the word the. Apostrophe apostrophe upon inspection, we find no less than 7 such arrangements, the characters being 48. We may, therefore, assume that represents T, 4 represents H, and 8 represents E, the last being now well confirmed. Thus a great step has been taken. But, having established a single word, we are enabled to establish a vastly important point, that is to say, several commencements and terminations of other words. Let us refer, for example, to the last instance but one, in which the combination 48 occurs not far from the end of the cipher. We know that the immediately ensuing is the commencement of a word, and of the 6 characters succeeding this the apostrophe we are cognizant of no less than 5. Let us set these characters down, thus, by the letters we know them to represent, leaving a space for the unknown, TEth. Here we are enabled, at once, to discard the TH apostrophe as forming no portion of the word commencing with the first T, since, by experiment of the entire alphabet for a letter adapted to the vacancy, we perceive that no word can be formed, of which this TH can be a part. We are thus narrowed into TE, and, going through the alphabet, if necessary, as before, we arrive at the word tree, apostrophe as the sole possible reading. We thus gain another letter, R, represented by with the words the tree in juxtaposition. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.